If you love chilling mysteries, unsolved cases, and a touch of mom-style humor, Moms and Mysteries is the podcast you've been searching for. Hey guys, I'm Mandy.
And I'm Melissa. Join us every Tuesday for Moms and Mysteries, your gateway to gripping, well-researched true crime stories. Each week, we deep dive into a variety of mind-boggling cases as we shed light on everything from heists to whodunits. We're your go-to podcast for mysteries with a motherly touch. Subscribe now to Moms and Mysteries wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for joining us wherever you are. This podcast episode was brought to you by the Old Ways Actual Play Team. This actual play is performed by adults and in an adult setting. Listeners should know that this podcast episode will include mature scenes and mature themes. This podcast episode uses the Marvel Multiverse role-playing game rules written by Matt Forbeck. All content, including names, places, companies, and etc., which may bear resemblance to entities living or dead, is strictly coincidental. And now, on to our show. Thank you for joining us again on another episode of the Old Ways Podcast. I am not your keeper, your storyteller, or your handler. I'm going to be turning this ship directly over to Storyteller James with all of his pencils and ink pens as we get back into our Marvel game. So take it away, James.
Thank you, Mike. Tonight, I am hunched over my artist's desk, furiously scribbling ink a fly as I turn out panel after panel for you, my true believers. Who is with me at the table tonight? To my proverbial right.
This is Alex playing Santos Ramirez, the bearer of the Armadura de Aguila, and we are in the shit, last I checked.
The shit, you say? Well, I mean, someone has to be in it, and who better than the Eagle to, you know, dole it out? Next to you.
This is Morgan. I play Dakota Daniels, otherwise known as the Violet Vixen. You know, we're kind of kicking ass, maybe.
How about a little ass kicking, a little chicken? We'll see where the evening takes us. Next to you at the table.
Hello, I am Rosie, she, her of Odd Duck Dice, and I will be playing Chase Blaze, also she, her, who is a tiny, sassy, pissed off, and happens to be Ghost Rider. And she is not wearing shoes. She has her keys and her face has just melted off, and she is on fire.
That's memorable. Face meltiness. Every time my face is melted off, I remember it distinctly. And lastly, opposite the table of me and dry firing a revolver at me occasionally.
Hi, this is Mike, and I'll be reprising the role of Frank Castle, who you may or may not know as the Punisher. And this is just another bad day after work for Frank.
Does he actually get after work, or is it just like continuous? No, you punch back in.
No, sir. This is me breathing.
All right. Okay. We bring the camera focus in to a room that is lit only in the center, and five extremely uncomfortable metal folding chairs that are digging into the asses of four out of the five of the people that are gathered here today, who they feel collectively like they have been talking for hours now. Throats are getting a little parched. There's empty paper cups beside all of you, although not one of you actually remembers getting any water or getting up to get any coffee, but I mean, you must have because, well, there they are. And for very uncomfortable people talking about deeply personal issues now, not a one of them is enjoying themselves at this point. As each of them realizes that there is not as much description around the room as they would like. Maybe there's folding tables and such, but it's hard to tell. The gentleman with the clipboard taps on it with the pen, drawing your attention. Listen, I know we've been at this for a while, but we really need to get to the bottom of this before I can sign off on anything that I would consider treatment or at least try to perhaps mitigate the punishment that's coming your way. All right, so, Mr. Castle, take us back there. What were you doing then?
I was standing across the street, and these things just came out of nowhere. And then I point across the row of chairs. This lady's face burns off.
Your face burns off? Do you mean she was angry and yelling at you?
Oh, that too. Maybe not yelling at me, but...
Were you angry with Mr. Castle, Miss Blaze?
I didn't know he was there at that point, so no.
We return to the road. There are now six of these creatures. They have formed a semicircle around you in the streets. What little light you do have from the overhead street lamps is not illuminating them in the best light, for sure. As they walk, or and some of them amble towards you, some of them almost gorilla-like in that they use their front limbs equally with their back limbs, a man comes out of a nearby small convenience store that was closed for the night or closing up. Dakota, you see him first. He comes stumbling out.
"What the hell's going on out here?"
You all hear this as you're looking these things over.
I'm going to say, sort of over my shoulder, out of the side of my mouth, "Just get the fuck back in the store, pal, or go home."
"Who the hell do you think you're talking to?"
He starts to twitch, and it makes this... And then there's a distinct... His eyes and inside seem to vanish into him, leaving just the skin part. That void sound, whistling sound, starts to emanate from him, and he starts to stalk towards the van.
Great.
So, what are the four of you doing currently? Let's refresh the panel, shall we? It's been just a moment or two, so you've had a moment to rearrange yourselves and place yourselves in optimal position for what you would like to do currently, which is, I will give you artist's reign with this panel.
Are they still surrounding us?
Yes, they are. They are coming up on you from all four sides, and a few are coming out of yards or across vacant lots. It seems like they are converging on your area, though. Yes.
Okay, yeah. I mean, if they're converging on us, I'm going to do my best to keep some sort of line so that way we don't get completely surrounded. Semicircle is one thing. Full circle is something totally different.
Okay. What efforts would you like to make sure that the C does not become an O?
Well, as far as I can tell, these things are affected by physical attacks. At least they seem to be, anyway.
They seem to be so far.
I'm just going to say let them have it.
All right, starting with the one that's closest to you?
You bet.
All right, that would be the unfortunate man who stumbled out of the shop and into a nightmare.
I think he's otherwise a little disposed at the moment, so...
He probably is, yeah. He doesn't seem like he's going to be answering any voicemails today.
Right. Well, I mean, he might be better off that way. But, so yeah, it's a agility roll, it seems.
Yes.
16.
All right. So you rack the shotgun, point it at him, and let him have it.
How many spaces is this guy away from me, this target?
They are currently 15 spaces away from you currently.
Oh, wow. 15 spaces? Okay.
Yeah.
So then the shotgun wouldn't be the go-to weapon then?
This guy close to you is probably closer to about 6 or 7 spaces.
Okay.
Because he came running out.
Yep. Damage is just the agility, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So looks like it's 36.
All right. The knight's piece, quote unquote, is once again erupted, the belch of a shotgun. A small burst of light as you see it tear into the flesh of this now spindly thing that used to be a shopkeeper. That blast from the shotgun seems to break the spell that is causing the momentary pause to look around. The recoil on this, you live and breathe recoil, that's not really something that you even notice anymore. It's reflex for you, but the recoil on the creature is surprising as it snaps back from that. Still gaping, now flapping wound in its side as the flaps around the wound are pulled inward by whatever this suction is, and he leaps at you, claws out. That is a 17 as a melee attack.
Yep.
You take 15.
Oof. Okay. I'm currently at 69.
Nice. This thing leaps forward and takes a fairly meaty swipe out of Frank, and some of it gets past body armor. Frank, thankfully, it seems like you are next in line, so what are you doing?
Well, I will take a trouble, and I'm going to spend 15 focus.
Mm-hmm.
And I am going to wheel with Maria in hand, mm-hmm. and I'm going to put a round directly into this thing's skull.
Alrighty.
So how does rolling with trouble work?
Rolling with trouble is you take your highest die mm-hmm. and you roll it again, and then you take the lower of the two rolls.
I gotcha. Uh-oh. That's a really good roll. Uh-oh. Does it stick? That's pretty good, actually.
All right.
So that is a 14.
All right.
Provided that hits, this is a headshot.
That does hit, sir.
Which means on a regular success, they take double damage. So 72.
The three of you, real quick, where are you in relation to Frank right now? Don't worry about where you were. You've had just a moment or two to reposition yourselves.
Yeah, I think he was like the furthest away from us, right?
Yep. He was. Yep.
Yeah. So as far away as I guess one would be.
Okay. Chase, where are you at in relation to Frank? You saw this van pull up and stop.
Well, at this point, Ghost Rider is probably walking towards that van to do something to it because she thinks it's just abandoned there.
All right. Okay. This burning skulled woman turns and stalks towards the van, leaving slightly slagged and burning footprints in the asphalt. As you are walking towards the van, you see that somebody lets loose with a shotgun at one of these creatures and then turns and pulls the pistol out right to the forehead. And when he fires the pistol, for just a second, you see a ripple of golden white energy start at the crown of his head, turn into a circle that goes down his arm and out the end of the barrel. And you see tendrils of that same gold white light shatter through this creature, and it sucks up into the wound, and it makes a popping sound that, well, your eyes don't water because they can't right now because they're gone. Frank, Santos, and Dakota, you guys, your ears all pop a little bit and your eyes water as this creature implodes. Frank, you also see the golden light that belched out of the end of this hand cannon and kind of a spiraled through the head of this creature as it imploded.
Can you learn something new every day?
It implodes. The rest of the creatures are not in unison per se, but they all seem to make them. Those of you who are close to them can hear it. You would almost describe them as purring sounds or growling sounds. Their attention has completely shifted from you three to that van. Oh, and the burning-headed person that's walking towards it. Santos, tell me about what you are currently doing.
I've been keeping an eye on things. So there's a guy who's shooting and helping us. Whether or not he's the Punisher remains to be determined. As far as I know, he's some dead guy. That's all I'm worried about right now.
That seems to be what everyone knows.
Being surrounded by these things, and I'm standing with Purple Nurple and facing off with a bunch of these things. So I am going to say to her, Dakota, right? How long you think these things will keep it up? And then I dive in.
Like into the bunch of them? Or
yes.
Like swan dive.
I would like to use fast attacks. Character splits their attack to make two close attacks against separate targets within reach. I'm guessing these things are standing close enough together.
Oh, yeah.
A single melee check and compare it to the target's melee defenses. On a success, the affected target takes half regular damage. On a fantastic, the affected target takes full damage and the character make a bonus attack. I would like to do that fastly. I'd like to attack fastly. Now, pure because it's none, so boom, let's do it.
Fastly.
One, it's a 19. Mm-hmm. Two, it's a fantastic.
Oh, damn. Okay, so double. That does double damage.
Well, and I get a bonus attack.
That's even better.
So that's 42 for the first one.
Okay.
The multiplier is 6, so minus damage reduction, what have you. And I will take a second attack.
All right.
And that fellow, not as good. Be a 17.
All right. The first one, you rend that one from stem to stern. You get a firm placement of claws and just unzip its front. It looks like at one point it might have been a gym bro, but now the body is strange, stretched and deformed because the inside, the shape is almost treated as a suggestion rather than a set of firm rules.
I split him between leg day and push day, I guess.
You absolutely do. That whistling and howling when you cut him open gets much stronger. Make me a resilience roll, please.
11.
All right. You actually lose 3 focus points. As whatever this howling is, that drawing, it seems to be drawing energy out of you as well.
Yeah, it sucked my brain earlier. I wasn't a fan.
Yep. The other two of you who are seeing Santos do this, as he rends it and it draws the energy out of him, you actually see a Dakota. It makes your blood run cold because it's a wispy purple energy that is drawn out of him, out of his mouth and out of his chest, and is pulled into that void. And it makes you stop in your tracks for just a second.
I would then like to move, if I may.
You may, sir.
The one is rended. The other one is still wiggling.
Oh, yeah. The one is rended badly and is mostly tattered flaps. The other is just wounded. It's just making a high-pitched whistling sound, like a balloon with a slow leak.
The second one or the first one?
It's not really moving in as much as it's just kind of struggling and trying to keep a cohesive form.
Okay. Then I will move upward. I would like to take this guy to get a better angle on these things.
His armor fully engages and he launches into the sky with very little problem or provocation. Ghost Rider, you finally reach the back of the car. I assumed you had picked up the pace after seeing the gunfire happen.
Meh.
Ah, a logical Ghost Rider. I'm not in a hurry to get there now that I know there are guns.
Once she gets to the cab of the truck, she gets in. If it's locked, she will pull the door off. If it's unlocked, she'll get in.
Into the passenger side?
Is there anyone else in the car currently?
The driver's side door is open currently, but there is a man who is like a half step away from the driver's side. I don't even think he probably took his hand off of the drawer out of like the door.
Okay.
Like he's doing a tango with it.
Then this unfortunate person gets a look from Ghost Rider and a sort of head nod to one side away from the door so that she can get in.
I will allow a turn of body and a soliloquy if you would like. As you turn around, something behind you is on fire, Frank. And the fire is getting much closer, but not at a rate that alarms you like an RPG would.
It's important. That context specifically very important for me.
Yes. And then when you turn around, you, Frank Castle, the man who is almost impossible to give pause to, are given pause because there's someone in front of you that you know you would damn certain you were never going to see again because you were there when he died.
Okay, so from my frame of reference, just so we're clear, mm-hmm. I'd probably address them by their first name.
Head on fire, Ghost Rider. Head not mm-hmm. on fire, that would have been Johnny that you know of.
I probably would give, in my immediate, like, after half second reaction would be, Johnny?
Evil dark laugh.
The laugh is familiar, if not higher pitched. In fact, you've heard that laugh somewhere before, but it wasn't Johnny.
Hmm.
We'll come back to you. Are you taking any other physical action, Chase? Now that you are locked and seeing that this is, in fact, Frank Castle, that growly voice inside of your head pauses for a moment. Make me a vigilance roll to remain aflame, to keep the pilot light lit, so to speak.
12.
It takes a moment of feeding the flames, so to speak. You have to remind yourself why you're angry or why you need the Ghost Rider to be in charge right now. But you're having a hard time because you have so many questions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this guy killed Johnny. And I would really like to talk to him about it. But we're not doing that right now. Right now, she's going to try to get in the car. And the fact that it seems to be his is going to make setting it on fire so much more fun.
Do you relinquish the driver's seat to the Ghost Rider?
I mean, we still got targets out here. That's the way Frank feels. So, like,
yes,
his movement will be to move towards the problems.
To engage targets. So he's not probably worried about the van too much.
No, and in his mind is There's other things to do.
Okay. Then without a problem, he lets go of the handle of the door and you get in and close the door. Okay. Are you doing anything to the van before the end of your turn? I say right now you've pretty much just moved and sat down in the seat.
I mean, I'm going to possess it with Hellfire. That is my goal.
All right. That's going to take around till your next round to take place.
Yes.
Okay. The engine of the old van revs in a way that, or fairly certain the engine shouldn't without, and then fire belches out of the 3 or 4 tailpipes now. Smoke belches out from underneath and then fire. The flames, some of them that lick up the side, color the sides in a almost 50s racing flames style. It's not really an old van now. So next in line would be Dakota.
Yeah, I see what's going on at the van, and that's wonderful.
And you see someone maybe headed your way as well, but it's not the one who was on fire that walked away.
Is it a friendly?
You're pretty sure it's the person who capped one of these creatures already. So, I mean, enemy of mine enemy.
Yeah. How many spaces is the closest creature to me?
I would say the closest creature to you is by now 5 spaces.
Wonderful. In a run?
Yeah.
Then I will spend my action running up to the closest being.
Okay. All right. You know what? I will actually even give you the benefit of the doubt in saying that you can, what with super strength and stuff, because it doesn't really take into the mechanics that you have super strength. So you can kind of moonwalk, not the Michael Jackson moonwalk, but literally like, you know, bound, bound, bound.
Like Tigger.
There's a lot more leg muscle in it than just running. And I could say you can still take an attack action if you'd like when you get there.
Well, for the attack action that I would like to do, which is crushing grip, I need to actually grab the bean first.
Okay.
By the throat.
All right, make a melee.
So I will do my melee.
Grabbing one of these X people by the neck. Well, neck flaps, really.
I get a 10.
Okay. That is not quite enough. You are engaged on it, but you don't manage to actually, with as flexible and fluid as it moves, and you're still a little startled by seeing that telltale purple energy come out of it. Yeah, you don't quite grab it.
Do I caress it with my hand?
A little bit with the back of your hand. It seems to enjoy it.
Okay.
And that one and another one immediately are turning towards you for other face caressing because they feel left out now.
That's very sad. I'm happy to help out. Yeah.
To pat them lovingly. Okay. Very good. Very good. Well, that goes back to the top of the slide, which unfortunately, the two that are closing in on you, Dakota.
I would like to take my reaction, if I may.
Oh, yes. Yes, you may.
I'm to interpose between Dakota and one of the creatures. Says character moves for free to stand between the target and the attacker, becoming the new target of the attack.
Okay, fantastic. There is a thump next to you. Not a very heavy one, because the armor absorbs most of the impact, but enough that you know someone is there on purpose, because he doesn't want you to start throwing hockey elbows into a space that you think is empty. The winged one is now standing next to you, kind of back to back with you facing the other one. It doesn't look like they're both going to hit you. But the first one, does a 15 hit you in melee?
It does, because my defense score under melee is 13.
Okay, it does hit you, and you take 12 damage, and you lose 4 focus points. The claw rakes across your chest, neck, and jaw a bit. You feel a cold, prickly sensation other than the pain of the claws that you are deeply, unfortunately, familiar with. As it draws this energy out of you. Santos, you hear the impact behind you of her getting hit. She still sounds like she's moving, but it definitely sounds like it landed a blow. You don't know if you're bleeding or if these things do cause you to bleed, but you don't have time to really look at the moment. You don't feel anything damp. Frank, you have almost reached this group. enough that you could probably, you know, if you wanted to, introduce them to one of your friends.
Oh, yes, clearly. There are always friends that need introductions. I'd like to get a just sort of level set on the situation. How many friendlies, how many assumed friendlies, how many assumed baddies?
From what you see, it looks like two assumed friendlies here. One that walked by you that you're not sure is friendly or not, but seems to have taken your van, and you're not sure what they're doing with it at the moment, but they have your van. And it looks like you would say four of these things closing in around them currently. And you hear maybe the sound of a door slam somewhere far off, letting you know that there might be more on the way. But the two that are back to back currently are there, look like they're about to be in the centerpiece at a buffet.
Okay, well, clearly then that's something we've got to work on. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make two shots with Maria with fast hands and try to even up some sides a little bit.
Okay, so they're going to catch these hands?
Quite literally, except that I can do it with range attacks, which is nice.
Fantastic.
That is a fantastic success.
Hell yeah.
You're going to have to deal with that. Do they have any damage reduction that I need to be aware of?
They have a damage reduction of one.
So the first shot is 13 damage. That's with the damage reduction taken into effect.
Gotcha.
And with fast hands, I get another one. That's an 18.
Were you targeting one that is closest to them that they are currently engaged in melee, or one of the ones that is a bit further out, so that assuming that these two guys have the ones that they are currently dealing with in combat?
Yeah, I think I want to assume that they're going to be able to deal with their own problems.
Okay.
But nobody likes a hanger-on or somebody who jumps in at the last minute. So we'll just sort of, if there are, as that semicircle draws in around them, if there is one that is towards Dakota's side and one that is towards Santos' side, not that I know their names, but
sure.
Speaking as a scene, then I'll put one bullet left, one bullet right. That second bullet does 18. It's shake and bake, and I helped.
It really is. All right. Santos and Dakota, you hear whistling sounds go by you as two gunshots illuminate the night very briefly. You hear two creatures nearby you squeal and recoil from the impact of these bullets. When the bullets hit, there is a small golden bloom of light when they hit the leathery hide of these creatures, these previously humans. Santos, having a bullet whip by you into one of them behind you lets you know that you have backup, but that doesn't do anything for the one right in front of you.
No. And as far as there being one in front of me, where are their friends? Like, I know there's more of them, so.
There is one off to your, essentially to your left now, that was creeping up behind his buddy here to give him a hand and then suddenly developed a bad case of bullet wound.
Gotcha.
You assume that the one that was off that looks like it was going to be sneaking up on the lady behind you also developed a case of sucking chest wound.
Okay. So are the two that just got shot within reach?
They are not. They're the distant ones out. The one in front of you is the only one that's really in reach right now, other than the one that's in front of Dakota.
Gotcha.
You could reach past her and grab that one too, probably.
Well, if there's not two within reach, then what I'm going to do is I'll attack the one in front of me and the one that Dakota's dealing with, because those are the closest ones to me.
Okay.
So I hit in front of me and then behind me. So I'll use fast attacks again.
Okay. Hit one hand, one wing.
We're pokey. Okay. We're gonna poke the goo. All right. This dice roller's treating me pretty well. So fast attack. The first one is a fantastic with a 17. So it's not double damage because it's a fast attack.
Right.
But it's still 41, 42.
Okay.
Yeah, 42 with a multiplier of 6. So.
Okay, definitely rend that one. Lose 2 focus points as it draws the energy out of you.
Yeah. At this point, I'm expecting the headache. And yeah, I wheel to the second one.
Dakota, it happens again. Although this time he reaches past you and it's like he's practiced specific martial arts moves, and you recognize some of them. maybe a capoeira, might be a Brazilian karate, you're not sure, some branch or something. But he reaches past you and, like a Three Stooges, puts his fingers into the eye sockets of this thing and just rends up through its face flesh. But as he does, you see more of that purple energy come out of him and into that void before it collapses. And he visibly slumps momentarily, seems to shake it off in the moment, and makes his second bone-jarring attack.
Yeah, and that's an 18 to against melee defense for 36.
Okay.
Since I made a fantastic success,
yes,
I would like to, as a reaction, spend 5 focus for exploit.
Okay.
The trigger requires a fantastic success that deals at least 1 point of damage.
Well, you have done that.
I'll spend the 5 focus, and it says the damage it does ignores health damage reduction, because no double on a fast attack, so.
Fantastic. He rends this one pretty badly. It's swaying to stay on its feet. You don't want to say there, because that reminds you that it used to be a person. But you have to admit that they used to be people at one point. Not anymore. Whatever is changing them seems to have taken that luxury away from them. Ghost Rider, you find yourself behind the wheel, a fire belching out of the engine. What are you doing?
I'm going to start running these things over.
Okay. That's a movement and an attack.
The text of...
All right. So you're running over them?
Yes.
All right. Make me a ego check to operate the possessed vehicle.
Okay. So I got a 1 on the marble dice and 2 sixes on top of that. So I'm going to...
So you got a 616. Very good.
So I'm a reroll, and that's a 6. Okay. So...
Best result you can get. All right. So that's 24?
I don't really think it's worth me using any of my edges for ego, because I'm not going to get better than that.
All right. Frank, you pull up, rack another shot. Santos, you're drawing back. You're starting to feel woozy on your feet because your energy is, you don't want to say gone, but it's draining out of you faster than you can replenish it through focus and the internal meditation. Dakota, you're not sure that you want to tussle with these things anymore. They're from that place. You know that they're from that place. But you know that you're going to have to fight one because it's right there and it's about to jump at you when Santos, Dakota, and Frank all hear the rev of an engine and two distinct thud sounds as this van plows into these two creatures and it up over them like they were MDB Megs. It pretty quickly chews them up under the burning tires. The side of the van, I assume, opens. Or are you just continuing to do figure eights around the parking lot with your windows down and your system up?
That second one, definitely.
So the van then drifts across the remains of these two and forms a burning ring around the three of you with the hellfire emanating from its back tires as it drifts around you in a circle, hitting one more of them that you didn't even see on the way. The deep voice inside of your head is laughing. It is a deep, gravelly, thoroughly enjoyed laugh. You almost get the feeling that it hasn't had a chance to really cut loose in a while. You can feel the road underneath you melting, and the three of you, your lungs are burning with the smell of brimstone and smoke as it's surrounding you. Just when you feel like you could not possibly take another moment of this literal now ring of hell that has sprung up back street around you, keeping you safe from the creatures from beyond, but at what cost? Everything slows down, perceptibly slows down. The flickering of flames, the squeal of the tires. Ghost Rider, the van seems to slow to a stop. Not that you're not giving it gas or telling it what to do, but everything slows to a stop. You see flames literally pause in midair.
There's like the creak of the sound of her turning in the seat to look around at everything.
Yeah, I think if time is sort of dilating to slow everything down. I'm probably selfishly using it to line up shots perfectly.
Okay. And just pulling the trigger?
Oh, yeah.
You pop the shot and the bullet travels out in its molasses slow time on its trajectory, eventually reaching the edge of this burning ring and coming to such a slow crawl that you don't see it move anymore. From above you, you hear, "Mr. Castle, I don't believe we've met."
I glance up.
See a man wearing black slacks, fairly expensive Italian shoes, a Blackhawks jersey, long flowing red cloak with gold trim, bronze medallion hanging from his shirt. His hands are up with golden rings of energy floating around them. He has a lock of white hair on either temple and a goatee. He floats down to street level. "My name is Dr. Strange. Four of you have certainly caused something of a commotion tonight, and you're kind of interrupting my hockey game. So, could we sort this out, please? Maybe somewhere a little safer?"
I'm sorry, who are you? But I know who Dr. Strange is.
"You have heard the name, as he's met with the president, and you've seen him on television on, like, matters most dire of things like, you know, cataclysms and stuff. He's the guy that CNN goes to, as he is the only one who's literally will be Chiron at the bottom, Sorcerer Supreme. It's almost like he encourages that. Is there a safer place that we can go?"
"I don't go home with just anybody."
He looks to Frank. "I'm sorry, I don't believe we've met." He offers a hand, like a handshake hand to you, Dakota. You'll notice that his hands are gnarled and scarred.
I take it, but I don't put it in a, like I would normally. I won't crush it like I would like Frank Castle's hand. Yeah.
"What did I do to you?"
"It's very nice to meet you. And you are?" He turns and looks at you, Santos. He's not saying it with judgment. It's more of just his eyebrow is raised. "I don't believe we've been introduced."
"No, we were in the middle of something until you showed up."
"It looks like it." He looks around.
"We didn't cause this."
"Oh, no. No, no, no. I'm not saying you did. It's the life. Maybe I knew your father. I believe I did. The mask is very familiar."
"Well, you'll find that I'm not nearly the coward he is."
Interesting. Yeah, I never forget a face. Oh, or anything else. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. There is a sickening lurch as space warps around you as you see a shimmering gold ring pass from one side of you to the other, and you're in a parking garage. The ring closes on the other side.
I look around the parking garage.
You're on the top, and it doesn't look like there's anyone else here currently. So it looks like he kind of deposited you and the van on the top of the garage.
What do you want?
"Well, I assumed you probably didn't want to burn to death. Maybe I was wrong. And as for you," turns around and he points at you, Chase.
Chase is still in the van, but upon being addressed, a middle finger will make its way out the car window.
Burning middle finger sticks its hand out the window.
At which point the door will open and she will step out and just look as pissed off as a burning skull-faced individual covered in brimstone ash can.
He kind of holds his hands up slightly defensively. "I didn't mean to. I just assumed that with as many as there were around and with fire and everything, I could lend you a hand. Perhaps I misread the situation."
"Yeah, you could have given us a hand by killing them."
"You can't really kill them. The keepers will just keep springing up. It'll just keep finding innocent people near you to hollow out."
"They have unlimited respawn."
"Yeah," he kind of laughs. "Yeah, yeah, actually.
This isn't a video game. This is life. Gosh."
"Yeah, life. Listen, if you want to know more, I can tell you. If you don't," floats into the air a little bit, "I'm happy to go back to my game."
"Whoa, my guy, we need to know what's going on right now so we can get this shit solved."
"All right, well, no, far be it from me." Lands again. Seems a little almost indignant. Cleans his fingernail for a moment. "All right, what you're dealing with, they used to be an organization that policed the boundaries between dimensions. ours and the dimension of dreams, or the dimension of nightmares, or the endless one, or countless other dimensions. They policed the inner workings, the space between the cogs, if you will.
I'm reloading my shotgun. I guess he's talking.
But somewhere along the lines, something came along, something influenced them into something different, darker, obviously more vampiric, if you will. They feed off of energy, but it's not just any energy. He kind of points at the four of you. And the reason they're drawn to you is because every single one of you has been to more than one place. You've been across the boundaries, or you've got a passenger that has, as he points at Chase. You've all been to other places, some of you forcefully, and some of you by choice. He raises an eyebrow at Xandos. So that's what draws them to you. You're like a stake on the table. I don't think you'll be able to stop them like that. You're going to need to figure out where they're coming from. Where's the source point?
Roxanne.
He turns. You think so? It wouldn't surprise me. Disgusted look on his face.
Yes, I was a guest of theirs for a brief moment, and they were trying to figure something out that got them dead.
They're protecting something pretty important, that building.
I would definitely suggest that, then. I won't be able to accompany you, because if Roxanne sees me, the endless lawsuits that would spring up against me would be, well, endless. And I really don't want that. I might be Sorcerer Supreme, but I'm not Endless Bank Account Supreme.
Can't you just make them go away?
Who? Roxanne?
No, the lawsuits.
No one has that kind of power. I would definitely say you're probably on the right track, though. Be careful. These things, their hunger will not stop. If you need to look up more, he reaches into his cloak and drops a book onto the ground in front of you. Doesn't even bounce. It literally just thump. That'll have more on them. You can send it back to me when you're done. I live in New York. My address is on the internet.
Santos lets his cowl go back, kind of shakes off, you know, the armor sweat.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Strange?
Yeah.
Did you really call this guy Frank Castle?
Yeah, that's Frank Castle.
I look at him.
I go back to reloading the other gun.
All right, cool.
Yeah, there's only one Frank Castle. Well, we've never met. Believe me, that's him. He doesn't say it with like a disgust or anything, just more of a, yeah, that's there's only one.
Now I got to tell you, your friends back in New York see you wearing that Blackhawk shirt, you're going to get your ass whooped.
Well, the nice thing about being able to teleport where I want to is I like any team I care for, and I happen to like a good team. Opens the portal, and you hear the roar of crowds and such, like maybe from near a concession stand for just a second, and then it's gone.
I shake my head, holster the weapons.
And with that moment, we are going to bring into a brief pause for here tonight. I would like to thank you all of you for joining us tonight for issue number 7, Asphalt and Brimstone. And we hope you will join all of us next time. And I will hand this wrap up off to Mike.
Yeah, thanks, James. Appreciate the game. We're really enjoying the Marvel storyline that we're all producing. We can't wait to see what we burn down next. So thanks, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon. Good night.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcast-free today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast-free.